He lives. Now you live. But maybe you doubt that this morning. Maybe you're here and you're caught up with all the Easter celebration and you're thrilled to be here and you just enjoyed that incredible song and you're telling everybody, hello, happy Easter, happy Easter. But deep down, maybe there's a little nagging doubt. Maybe you've got a little seed of doubt. Well, I think I believe. Did he rise? Did he truly rise? Well, as we'll look at in just a minute, Jesus would say to you this morning, as he does live and he is alive and well this morning, he would say to you this morning, stop doubting and believe. He said it many times to his disciples, his greatest followers. Oftentimes their faith would fail them and they would doubt, and that's what he'd tell them. Stop doubting and believe. He lives. Now you live. And it's because of that resurrection, it's because he rose from the dead, that now you can truly live. You see, if you think you've been living, but you've been apart from Christ, if you think you've been there, done that, and you've experienced what life has to offer, maybe you're even up in years, well, I've experienced life. If it's been apart from Christ, if you haven't yet heard His call or sensed His call or responded to His call, most importantly, and repented of your sins and turned to Him and put your faith in Jesus, if you haven't done that yet, you haven't experienced life yet. It's just waiting on you. God's ready to give it to you, has been for years, has been for however long He's been drawing you and you've been resisting, however long you've been sensing His Spirit and sensing that pull and going into services and feeling something strange, but leaving and not stepping out in faith, not totally committing, not totally believing, doubting just a little bit, not sure about the resurrection. As long as that's been going on, you haven't experienced life yet. He's got it for you. He's got life, true life, the way it was meant to be. For Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. He is the life. When we give our all to Him, when we surrender, when we believe wholeheartedly, when we put our faith in Him and begin to step out and follow Him step by step and live for Him, you experience life. You experience life to the full, as He described it in John 10 when He said, the thief has come to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came not only to give you eternal life forever, that you'll be with Him in paradise for all eternity. It'll never end. But here on the earth, the abundant life, the full life, everything that He's got for you here on the earth. Are you missing out on God's best? Well, just do what Jesus says today. Just stop doubting and believe, because He lives. And now you live. Turn with me to John chapter 20. We're going to learn from the example of Thomas this morning in John chapter 20, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And if we are going to stop doubting God for whatever it is, maybe it's even just a prayer you've been praying, but you've been doubting, whatever your doubt, if we're going this morning to stop doubting and believe, we need to do two things that the Lord showed me from this passage. We need to learn from Thomas, and don't have it your way, have it His way. That's the two things we need to do this morning. Learn from Thomas, and don't have it your way. Do it His way. Have it His way. In John 20, I'm going to read starting in verse 24 through 21, excuse me, through 31. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And let me pause for just a second and catch you up. Jesus has been resurrected. The disciples were gathered behind locked doors on that first day of the week, and Jesus appeared to them, and they had seen the Lord. But Thomas wasn't with them. Verse 25. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Let's pray together. Oh, Father, we just ask that we hear your voice. Lord, would you get me out of the way? Would you move me aside? And would you speak to us? Speak your word to us. Pierce our hearts where they need to be pierced. And Lord, let us leave this place changed, never the same, to live for you. Because you live, may we now live. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, learn from Thomas and don't have it your way. Here's what your way looks like. The first point is, do you ever doubt the things of God? This is what your way looks like when you're doing it your way. You ever doubt the things of God? Look at verse 24 and 25. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." He doubted. He doubted. His friends were telling him the truth. His friends were telling him they had seen the resurrected Lord. He had the testimony of his friends. But he doubted. And you know, his very name, Thomas, in both the Hebrew, where we translate his name Thomas, and the Greek, Didymus, they both mean twin. And it just got to me thinking a little bit about being double-minded, thinking two things at the same time. Twin, maybe where he has God's Word right in front of him, God's will, and he could just believe it. He could just think one way, but then he sees God's will and he sees God's way. But then he steps back and he thinks about it. Well, maybe it could be this way. And he doubts a little bit and he has two thoughts instead of one. He's double-minded. I thought about those twin thoughts. But you know, later, if your name's Thomas, don't worry. Because later, you could look at the name Thomas, twin, being he was a twin of Jesus. He was a twin of Jesus. Once he believed, then he would seek to be more and more like Jesus. He'd follow Jesus. And as we do that, God makes us more and more like Jesus. The longer we follow, the more we begin to look like Him. Well, maybe someone's told you about Him. Just like his friends came and said, I've seen the Lord. Maybe you've got some people in your life that have been telling you, oh, I've seen the Lord working in my life. He's done this and this. Maybe you've heard testimony after testimony after testimony. People telling you, wow, the Lord is awesome. He's real. He's doing these incredible things in my life. And you've heard it in one way or another. But do you ever doubt? Do you ever doubt the things of God? Do you ever respond like Thomas? Maybe you hear a message, such as this morning. But you go away going, oh, I don't know if that was from the Lord. Or TV. There's many different ways you can hear the Word of God, His Word to you personally. Many ways. Through His Word. Maybe you doubt His... Maybe you've heard something on the TV, you've doubted that, or the radio, or you've seen things on the internet, or people around you talking. Maybe people have shared gospel tracts with you. I don't know what it's been. Maybe it's the Bible itself. Maybe you have some difficulties with God's Word in written form. Maybe you've doubted it. Maybe you've doubted that it's all from God. There are a lot of writers and, I accept most of it. Almost all of it is great stuff. I had a friend I recently worked with that his dad was a preacher and he was doubting. We'd have discussions and doubting God's Word. That it's all true, that it's inerrant, that it's perfect, as it says so many times in here, that the Word of God is perfect. It's living, it's active, it's sharper than any double-edged sword. This Word right here says that heaven and earth will pass away one day, but that it will never pass away. Voltaire, the French philosopher, once tried to get rid of the Word of God and God's irony. The place that Voltaire owned, if I'm remembering right, it actually became a printing press where they printed Bibles. It's not going away. But maybe you've doubted. Maybe he didn't tell me that. Well, there again, don't have it your way. This is what your way looks like. Your way also looks like this. Do you ever want it your way? You ever want things your way? Do you want it your way? You see, when his friends came to him and said, we've seen the Lord, he basically was saying, I'm not going to believe unless it's my way. Here's how I will believe. And then he said in verse 25, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it. He wanted it his way. He had his own conditions. Here's what has to happen, then I'll believe. I'll believe God. Well, what in a sense he did was he put himself above God. Do you ever put yourself above God? Have you ever done that? Have you ever, in your own human logic, in your own thinking, thought, I think this is how things are. I think that this is true. This is why I believe this. Here's how I think of truth. And here's why, because it's reasonable to me. Now I'll get God's Word and I'll read through it. But here's how I believe. I'll read through God's Word. Uh-oh. Now when something doesn't agree with me, then I say, oh, well, this must be messed up. Let me find some more verses so that I can make what I already believe, what I've decided, my way, so I can make my way right. So I can make my way fit God's Word. Let me find some other verses. Oh, here's one. Now, see, if you apply that, you ever done anything like that? You ever tried to live the way you want to live and then you try to make God's Word fit it? man named Charles Taze Russell did that. He couldn't accept the doctrine of hell. He said, "No, there can't be hell. That's just too much." And he wouldn't accept that doctrine. So he formed his own doctrines. And and he began to lead people. They began to follow him. And today, the church is called the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they've got their own translation of the Bible that's different than this translation. Many different translations. Well, this is God's Word. He's revealed Himself in His ways and His expectations through it. And you see, this needs to be like this over you and me, over our lives. And you see, God's Word needs to be prominent and first and foremost. If we truly submit to God, we'll put His Word up there, and then whatever we believe will change as we read His Word and we say, "Oh man, I got to change my thinking there." You see, that's what the word repent means. The word repent means a deep change of mind. It's where you think your own way, but then you realize God's way, and you say, "Oh, I got to change. Lord, have mercy on me. Okay, I see the truth now, and I follow You." You ever want it your way? Don't want it your way. Another thing is, you know, if you have it your way, here's the truth of the matter that we learned from Thomas. Have it your way, and there's no telling how much time you'll lose. Have it your way, and there's no telling how much time you'll lose. Look at the beginning of verse 26. A week later, his disciples were in the house again. You see, for a whole week, Thomas probably lived in misery. All his friends were so excited about seeing the risen Lord, but he said, "I won't believe unless it's my way." And by going his way, he probably lived a whole another week in misery when he could have been living how the Lord wanted him to, enjoying everything else. But until Jesus appeared to him again a week later, how much time have you lost? He lost a week. How much time are you losing and have you lost by doing it your way, not accepting God's way? You know, we got to choose, you know, to choose one thing. Everybody knows you give something else up. Anytime we make a choice, anytime we make a decision, if you choose one thing, you give something else up. There were some children that were in a painting class, and there was just a couple minutes left, and the teacher walked and saw one student that was hurriedly painting a barn, and then he would paint a little bit on this sunset, and then he'd paint the barn, and the teacher said, "Son," he said, "you can paint the barn or you can paint that sunset, but you don't have time to paint both." And the same is true with your belief, with your faith. You either do it your way or you do it God's way. You can't do it both, and there's no in between. And so if you're not doing it God's way, if His Word is not above your life, if you're not following Him, then you're wasting time. You're missing His best. And the Word tells us in James that to know the good that we ought to do and not to do it is called sin. That we live in sin as long as we don't follow Him and His way. So learn from Thomas. Don't have it your way. Here's what to do. Have it His way. Have it Jesus' way. Jesus always brings peace. Here's Jesus. Let's look at Jesus' way now. Jesus always brings peace. Look at the beginning of verse 26. A week later, His disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Jesus always brings peace. You see, at one point, Jesus often said, "Peace be with you," when He came. He said it a couple more times in the previous chapter, but one time Jesus said, "My peace I leave with you, but not as the world does, do I give you my peace." What was He talking about? Well, The best we can do here in the world when we wish peace to each other, if I said, peace be with you, peace be with you. The best we can do is to wish you peace. I can wish you peace. But that's about it. You see, when Jesus says, peace be with you, He has the power to give it. He has the power to give you the peace that you seek. They had the doors locked, but I'm sure peace filled the room when He was there. And He said, peace be with you. There were some artists that were told, paint a picture of the word peace. And they had a contest, and the runner-up painted a beautiful, peaceful scene. It was some white, puffy clouds on a gorgeous spring day. There was a meadow, and you could just see a gentle breeze with the trees blowing just a little bit. And little boy was flying his kite, running through a field. That was the runner-up. The winner painted a picture of dark clouds, and there was thunder and lightning crashing through. The trees were about to break down in the wind. But there was a picture in one of the trees. There was a little bird's nest. There were three baby birds sleeping under their mother's wing. That's the peace that Jesus gives. That no matter what you face in life, no matter what you come up against, that He can say, peace be with you, and bring it and give it to where you have it. A peace that passes all understanding, as His Word tells us. And it's because He is the Prince of Peace, the Word of God tells us. Do you need peace this morning? Maybe that's your deepest need. Maybe you don't have peace in your life. Maybe you've come seeking peace. Do you need peace? Well, you just need Jesus. He is your peace. You may have seen it written on a church marquee or something like that, but there's a great little saying, and it says, no peace, N-O. If you have no peace, it says, it says, no Jesus, N-O. No Jesus, if you don't have Jesus. No Jesus, no peace. But then it says, K-N-O-W, Jesus. No Jesus, and no peace. And how many of you know that's the truth this morning? Well, when you have it His way, Jesus always brings peace. And He says, stop doubting and believe. That's the watchword for today. If you forget anything else, hear the Lord tell you this morning, stop doubting and believe. In 27b, then He said to Thomas, put your finger here, see my hands, reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. Hear His call. Think about it. How much time is wasted? How many opportunities have you wasted doubting? Where if you didn't spend all that time doubting, you could just obey God just immediately. Just, I'll go, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do. Don't waste that time. When Peter was in a boat and Jesus was walking on the water and the storm was raging, Peter looked out to his Lord in the black of that night on that sea, and he said, Lord, if it's You, tell me to come to You on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat, not doubting, in full faith, looking at Jesus. And he walked on the water. He was walking out to Jesus in his faith. But you know, then it says he caught sight of the wind and the waves. And you can imagine, he probably said, what am I doing? What happened? He just doubted. And then he began to sink. And Jesus went over to him and extended his hand and just lifted him up out of the water. You know what Jesus said to him? Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? Why do you doubt? Stop doubting and believe. And then having it His way, you and I need to say, you should say, just like Thomas did when he realized and he believed, he said, my Lord and my God. Well, that's what you need to say. Have you said that? If you said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. Can you say that this morning? Can you say, Jesus is Lord? There was a time I thought I could say, Jesus is Lord. I grew up going to church, very religious, always going to church. But I remember being about 23 years old, and I remember that verse in Romans 10 that says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, and catch that, that's very significant for this morning. If you can confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and then you can believe in your heart, not doubt, but believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Well, I used to think I had that. I could say, Jesus is Lord. But you know what? It wasn't true for me. My party life was ahead of Him. I had a number of different sin areas in my... Y'all can talk to my parents later. They're here. I had a number of different sin areas in my life that Jesus wasn't Lord. I could say it, but it wasn't true. He wasn't my Lord. He wasn't first. And He finally dealt. He began to deal with me. And the call that I heard was, Derek, are you willing to put me first in your life above everything? And He got me there. I came to a point of surrender and I said, yes. Okay, Lord, I am tired of messing around. Yes, I just want to give You my life. And then He began to change me. He began to work on me. And He's still working on me. Can you say that this morning? Can you say, Jesus is Lord? I carry a cross in my pocket. My dad gave me the first one I ever had. And it looks like this, and this particular one says, Jesus is Lord. I want to read you the little card. This is the card that goes with the cross. It says this, I carry a cross in my pocket, a simple reminder to me of the fact that I am a Christian no matter where I may be. This little cross is not magic, nor is it a good luck charm. It isn't meant to protect me from every physical harm. It's not for identification for all the world to see. It's simply an understanding between my Savior and me. When I put my hand in my pocket to bring out a coin or key, the cross is there to remind me of the price He paid for me. It reminds me, too, to be thankful for my blessings day by day and to strive to serve Him better in all that I do and say. It's also a daily reminder of the peace and comfort I share with all who know my Master and give themselves to His care. And catch this last verse. So I carry a cross in my pocket, reminding no one but me that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, if only I'll let Him be. Can you say Jesus is Lord? Is He over everything in your life? Is there anything that's competing with Him? Well, that thing's called an idol. He is meant to be first place in your life, above and beyond and far above everything, every relationship, your spouse, your children, whoever, whatever you care most about in life, He is to be way above it, prominent. Everything else comes under Him. If you can say, Jesus is Lord. Can you say that? We need to believe without seeing. As Jesus mentioned, blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. You know, faith pleases God. The Bible tells us without faith it's impossible to please God. Faith is what pleases God. Faith is what God loves. Belief, trusting Him, not doubting, but wholeheartedly just saying, Lord, You say it, it's done. The less proof you need, the better. The better, the closer you are to the Lord. How would you feel if you were at the church here with me and I said your name and I said, do you mind shutting off those bathroom lights and then locking that front door? I'll come out the back and let's meet around front. And we did that and we did all that and you shut off those lights and you locked that door and we went around front. And then I said, did you do all that? You said, yeah, I got it. And then I said, hold on just a minute. And I went up to the front and I pulled on the door. I said, yeah, you got it. And then I unlocked it and I went in and I checked the bathroom lights. I came back out and I said, yep, you had gotten them. How would you feel? I think you'd be like, you don't trust me? What? And God is the same way with our doubt, with our lack of faith. When He says it, and we don't just say, oh, Lord, I love you. Yeah, whatever you say. I got it. I do it. It's much better to believe without seeing. And then when we do it, we receive life and we live. By believing, you may have life in His name. It says in the last verse, life in His name, true life, eternal life, abundant life. I'll close with this. This is written by Max Lucado. The truth will triumph. Imagine that you're an ice skater in competition. You're in first place with one more round to go. If you perform well, the trophy is yours. You're nervous, anxious, and frightened. Then, only minutes before your performance, your trainer rushes to you with the thrilling news. You've already won! The judges tabulated the scores, and the person in second place can't catch you. You are too far ahead. Upon hearing that news, how will you feel? Exhilarated. And how will you skate? Timidly? Cautiously? Of course not. How about courageously and confidently? You bet you will. You will do your best because the prize is yours. You will skate like a champion because that is what you are. You will hear the applause of victory. The point is clear. The truth will triumph. The Father of truth will win, and the followers of truth will be saved. If you believe and don't doubt, and you've repented of your sins, you've put your faith in Christ, the victory is already yours. You're going to be with Him for all eternity. Nothing's going to change that. Nothing can take it away. Nothing can change it. You have paradise for all eternity. Hey, you may as well just live for Him. You don't need to be so cautious and timid. Am I going to mess it up? Am I going to mess it up? No. Receive life and live. Live it. Let's pray together. Father, we know that because You live, Lord, we can live eternally and we can live in freedom abundantly. Lord, help every person here, Lord. If there's anybody who needs to come to Jesus this morning, Lord, may they walk down one of these aisles and tell me or tell another Christian that I need Jesus. Lord, if there's someone who needs to join this church, Lord, would You burden their hearts? May they respond in faith and say, this is my place, and join this church. And Lord, we thank You for what You're doing in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.